Now on the RT News Channel. Now, first to that breaking news in France. The unceremonious dumping of the French government in a no-confidence motion in Parliament. Politico Suzanne Lynch joins us now on the line from Brussels. Suzanne, good evening to you. And thanks for joining us so late as it is on your timeline, but I suspect you're probably still up watching developments anyway.
Yes, absolutely, Colm. It was quite a dramatic day. I mean, we had been expecting this since Monday, and indeed for the last few weeks. The French government has been in trouble for some time. And Michel Barnier, who was appointed by Macron to kind of steady the ship and become that prime minister, has essentially failed in that task. He has been trying to pass a budget in France to try and deal with the country's gaping deficit. He put forward these proposals, and tonight, as expected, the parliament voted against him. A majority of votes supported this no-confidence motion against him, and now we expect him, he has indicated that he will now tender his resignation to President Macron.
There were, I think, was there two motions? Was it the left-wing motion ended up being supported? There was some discussion in advance as to whether there'd be jockeying over whose motion got the support. Did it matter in the end?
Well, it didn't, because we did have the situation where the irony is that we've had these more, ideological wings of the French political landscape have become more powerful. The far right under Marine Le Pen and the far left. So it was always an uneasy relationship. You had these three blocks really in the French parliament. But I think ultimately this can be maybe seen as a moment where Marine Le Pen, who has been a presence in French politics for a long time, where she showed her power here, really. Her party now is the biggest bloc, and it had been reluctantly, if you like, supporting the government. Barnier was negotiating with her till the end. He thought that ultimately he would be able to win her over and that she would vote to support the government. But in the end, she didn't. She said she was protecting the French people. She opposed a lot of the measures being put forward by Barnier, particularly on the issue of pensions. And she has decided now to drive this no-confidence motion in him. Now, I mean, there's a political risk for her, because I think over the last few years she's been trying to paint her party as the more kind of responsible government party who's ready for government. But she has taken this decision now to bring down the government, essentially. But as Barnier said, he addressed the parliament shortly before the vote, and he made the point, which I think everyone agrees with, that these problems around the budget are still going to be there. No matter what happens now, the French government still has these economic problems. It still has to pass a budget, and that is still the situation, despite the fact that they have gone through with this no-confidence motion.
And a few woes on the horizon for herself, Marine Le Pen.
Absolutely. I mean, she's facing this separate kind of court case, as she's due again in March, about a historic charge to do with her party's presence, European Parliament presence, office expenses, etc., when she was a member of the European Parliament. So, you know, she's not out of the woods politically either. But I mean, France is facing Macron as it stands now. The next French presidential election is 2027, and she is hoping to win that election. Now, I mean, a big question now is one issue that is being discussed is perhaps Emmanuel Macron could resign. He has given no indication that he will, but that is certainly an option now.
You'd think there's a slim chance of that. The last time he went early to call an election, it blew right up in his face and arguably left us in the position we're in now.
Well, yes. I mean, it was this decision by Macron after the European Parliament elections back in June. He made the night of the European Parliament elections. It was kind of overtaken by this shock announcement from Macron that he had decided to call national elections to try, as he thought, to get clarity and to get the support of his country, you know, for his political agenda. The opposite happened, as you just said there. In fact, the result was very fractured and we ended up with this very divided parliament. And now we are where we are with this. So that completely backfired on him. His problem now is, though, under French law, he can't call another parliamentary election until next summer, a year after he called one this year. So, you know, there are limited options now. He could ask Barnier to stay on in a kind of caretaker form. He could appoint a new prime minister, but then he has got the same problem which he's just had, which he has to have the support of the parliament. And then, of course, I mean, one possibility I said there is that he himself could resign, and that would precipitate early French presidential elections. But look, we don't know. Macron has been away from France for the last few days. He was in Saudi Arabia. He did arrive back to Paris just before the vote this evening. And we're told now that he will address the country tomorrow, Thursday evening. So there's going to be a lot of speculation all through tomorrow about what he's actually going to say when he makes that address tomorrow evening.
All right. What's this? What's the story with the watch?
The watch? I'm not sure about that
okay.
one, Colin.
I believe he was. I was believed he was on TV the other night and had a rather expensive watch on, which he removed under the table. But there you go. But what's the wider reaction been outside of France? Because you know, for people watching. The market's reactions to France, for people watching their other, I suppose, political allies in Europe, you know, what are people watching as France goes through this crisis?
Yeah, I think a big moment will be tomorrow when the markets open. So already we've seen adverse market reaction to what's been happening in France because it is an economic problem. They're trying to pass this budget. And a big question will be how markets react tomorrow. Will we have a situation that we saw with Liz Truss, for example, when she tried to pass this £45 billion worth of unfunded tax cuts that led to economic panic in the markets? You know, would we have a situation like that tomorrow? You know, there have been jitters over the last week. We saw French borrowing costs briefly and the yields surpassed those of Greece for the first time. But however, I mean, S&P, the rating agencies last Friday evening maintained their outlook on France that, you know, we're not in the situation we were 10, 12 years ago with the Eurozone crisis. But you know, France matters. It's the second largest economy in Europe. It's a hugely important economy. And it's happening. This is all happening at a time when Germany, the largest economy in the Eurozone, is having its own problems. The German government has recently collapsed and they're having early elections now in February. And the German economy is doing pretty badly at the moment. So the timing of this isn't great, particularly at a time when the European Commission is just starting its next five-year mandate. We've Donald Trump coming in the United States, threatening, you know, tariff action against Europe. So that is why the timing of this is not good for Europe. Could there be contagion? Perhaps. But we will see over the next few days how markets will react.
All right. And finally, one of the other issues, President Macron has been a big backer of Ukraine. Donald Trump has not been keen on Ukraine. But if France is seen to be impecunious, there will be worry in Kyiv and particularly in light of who's coming to power in the US in January.
Yes, 100%. I mean, this is a huge issue for Ukraine now. Donald Trump has made it clear about his views on Ukraine. I mean, the Republican Party, even before the election of Donald Trump, it was very hard to get that last spending bill through Congress because Republicans were opposed to it. So there is no doubt now that Donald Trump and the Republican Party, which are now in control of all levers in Washington, you know, want to do something different when it comes to Ukraine. So France and Germany, again, the two largest countries in Europe, matter here. And, you know, Macron is obviously, you know, being very strong in his support for Ukraine. But we are now seeing a situation that Europe is going to have to step in if America pulls back, but really doesn't have the economic capacity, the defense capacity to do so. Not really. I mean, America is still by far the biggest funder, the biggest military supplier for Ukraine. So big issues now for Ukraine. And yes, I mean, having a weak Germany, weak France at the moment, you know, is not good news for Ukraine as it approaches this third anniversary of the Russian invasion.
Okay, Suzanne Lynch from Political. Thanks a million for joining us from Brussels, particularly given the lateness of the hour. Now we're going to go to our panel here. Marion Harkin, you're a former MEP, no doubt. You've had French colleagues over the years and you've watched it closely. What do you make of what's going on here?
Yes, indeed. I've had French colleagues and I was in the same parliament when Michel Barnier was Commissioner for Regional Development and when Marine Le Pen sat in the parliament. And you couldn't sort of have envisaged that this would happen. And perhaps it's down to some extent, at least, to Macron's, I'm not sure what word to use, but his, after the European elections, his hasty and ill-advised move to call a general election and the outcome that ensued. But of course, in any general election, including our own, the outcome is what the people wish for. And what we have find now in France is we have a right wing, a left wing, and a centre that hasn't held, a centre that has been eroded. And it's just not held. And tonight it collapsed. And Suzanne, when she speaks of Europe as a whole, the challenges that, Scholz faces in Germany, It just means that, Europe or the EU is much more unstable than it was. France now, we have to wait till the markets open tomorrow, but they say its cost of borrowing right now is the same as what Greece is. So whether that will remain the case or not, I don't know. But all of that just feeds into instability and not sure what will happen to sort of stabilise the situation. But it is concerning. And, you know, we talk also about Ukraine. And I suppose at this side of Western Europe, you know, we sort of feel insulated from the big shocks, from things that can impact the EU and think, well, we're far enough away. They won't impact us so much. But in truth, of course, they do. So a few uncertain days ahead. I can't see Macron resigning. I can't see him calling presidential elections. But we don't know what's in his mind.
OK, Ruth Coppinger, I mean, do you find yourself conflicted in some ways in that he's been brought down by a motion of no confidence that was against austerity measures that he wanted to take? But in another way, it advantages the far right in France. So this instability may not benefit people who you would regard as your, I suppose, ideological allies in all of this in France.
I think what we're seeing in France is a reflection of the polarity and the division that we're seeing all around the world. Let's just step back. This is like France, one of the biggest economies in the world, one of the most, you know, important countries in Europe, in massive crisis. And I think at the root of it is the division that's opened up in, you know, throughout societies, throughout advanced capitalist countries, if you like look at the US, over massive inequality. Like, I was just quickly looking at some of the wealth figures in France. So the top billionaire in France is Bernard Arnault, who owns all the luxury products, Christian Dior. He tripled his wealth to $233 billion. Since COVID, you know, so there is no shortage of wealth to resolve the issues. But of course, it's in fewer and fewer hands. And we're also seeing the growth of the far right. It's been a feature in France for a long, long time. You know, Le Pen, the father, etc. Thankfully.
And there are further right elements, yeah, even than Le Pen, too.
And there's brutal racism in France against some of the poorest people of colour. And it's been a history of brutality and savagery by the police as well, which is again added to the divide that's there. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens now. Mélenchon and that group did manage to prevent the far right from coming to power, but who knows what's going to happen now.
OK. Enyeni Vrechlan, people were complaining here that the campaign never took off, the election was humdrum, politics was boring. Be careful what you wish for.
I certainly think be careful what you wish for. And even as Suzanne said, that there isn't allowed to be another election until next summer. I can't imagine how the Irish public would take it if that was the case. And often governments may have been brought down or snap elections called, and people have told politicians that they want them back or don't want them back. But I suppose we haven't seen such upheaval. And it is as well a reflection of a lot of the inequality and the instability that we saw very close to our shores after Brexit. Across Britain, and I suppose we may feel that we might be a bit isolated or insulated here in Ireland, but this might actually speed up the talks between the government parties, because I suppose a government wants to be in place and the European Union wants to be stable as well. But I think be very careful what you wish for when you see France tonight.
All right.